Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Fully Grown by economist Dietrich Wohlrath challenges the familiar story that slow growth signals failure. Instead, it argues that much of the developed world, especially the United States, is experiencing a kind of economic maturity. The book explains how the economy has shifted from rapid expansion driven by population growth, frontier building, and industrial catch-up to a slower phase shaped by longer lives, smaller families, higher education, and a larger service sector. Wohlrath reframes stagnation as an outcome of success. Fewer urgent needs, more time spent on health and care, and higher standards that make productivity gains harder to measure. With accessible reasoning grounded in mainstream macroeconomics, the book connects long-run growth trends to everyday realities like housing costs, changing work, and the politics of redistribution. Rather than promising a simple fix, it invites readers to rethink what progress looks like when a rich country is no longer racing to build the basics and is instead managing abundance, aging, and inequality. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, economic maturity and the end of exceptional growth. A central topic is the idea that the United States and other advanced economies are no longer in a historically unusual period of rapid expansion. Wohlrath describes earlier growth as being fueled by forces that cannot repeat forever. A fast-growing population, large waves of immigration, rising labor force participation, and the build-out of a vast physical and institutional frontier. As these tailwinds fade, measured GDP growth naturally slows, even if living standards remain high. This reframing matters because it replaces the crisis narrative with a life cycle narrative. Economies can be fully grown in the sense that they have already accumulated a high stock of capital, infrastructure, education, and public health, so each additional improvement yields smaller percentage gains. The book also emphasizes that slower growth is compatible with high levels of innovation and comfort, but the baseline is different. When an economy is already rich, maintaining stability, resilience, and quality becomes as important as expanding output. This topic helps readers interpret long-run data without assuming that a return to mid-20th century growth rates is either realistic or necessary for well-being. Secondly, demographics, education, and the changing workforce. Another major theme is how demographic transition reshapes growth. Lower fertility, longer life expectancy, and an aging population reduce labor force growth and shift spending toward health, retirement, and care. Wohlrath highlights that these changes are largely the result of success, better child survival, improved opportunities for women, and higher returns to education encourage smaller families and more schooling. More years spent in education can slow measured output in the short run while raising productivity and earnings over a lifetime, altering the timing of growth rather than eliminating it. Aging also changes the composition of demand, which affects which sectors expand and which ones shrink. The book connects these patterns to macroeconomic outcomes, such as lower interest rates and higher desired savings, which can make investment dynamics look weaker than in the past. Importantly, the analysis does not treat demographics as destiny. It suggests that policy choices about immigration, childcare, health costs, and labor market inclusion can influence how smoothly an economy adapts. Readers come away with a clearer framework for why a slower growing workforce can coexist with high individual prosperity and why growth accounting must consider who is working, how many hours, and in what kinds of jobs. Thirdly, the rise of services and why productivity looks slower, Wohlrath devotes substantial attention to structural change from goods production towards services and how that shift affects measured productivity. Manufacturing and technology can generate large output gains with relatively fewer workers as processes scale and automate. Many services, by contrast, are labor-intensive and harder to standardize, such as education, healthcare, childcare, hospitality, and personal care. When a growing share of employment and spending flows into these areas, aggregate productivity growth can slow, even if the services are valuable and outcomes improve. The book also explores the measurement challenge. Quality improvements in services are difficult to capture in statistics. A medical treatment that prevents disability or extends life may not show up as a proportionate increase in measured output, yet it clearly raises welfare. Similarly, digital tools can deliver convenience and consumer surplus that GDP only partially reflects. This topic helps explain why people can experience technological abundance while economists observe modest productivity growth. The key point is not that innovation has ended, but that innovations increasingly appear as better experiences, personalization, and health outcomes rather than sheer volume of physical goods. Understanding this shift helps readers interpret debates about stagnation, automation, and whether the economy is failing to innovate. Fourthly, housing, land scarcity, and the geography of inequality, a further topic concerns how land and housing markets can distort the benefits of economic success. As incomes rise and cities become more productive, demand concentrates in desirable metropolitan areas. If housing supply cannot expand due to geographic limits or restrictive regulation, prices increase faster than wages for many households. Vollrath links this to broader inequality dynamics. Asset owners, especially homeowners in high-demand regions, can see wealth rise even when overall growth is modest, while renters face a higher cost of living and fewer pathways to accumulation. The book uses this lens to argue that some stagnation narratives are really distribution narratives. People may feel left behind not because the country is getting poorer, but because gains are capitalized into land values and captured unevenly. This geographic dimension also affects labor mobility and opportunity, as high housing costs prevent workers from moving to the most productive places. The topic encourages readers to think about growth and affordability together and to consider the role of zoning, infrastructure, and local governance in shaping national outcomes. In this view, policies that increase housing supply and reduce barriers to mobility can improve living standards even without returning to rapid headline growth. Lastly, rethinking policy goals in a slower growth world. The book ultimately pushes readers to reconsider what economic policy should prioritize when slower growth is a sign of maturity. If the underlying slowdown comes from favorable forces such as better education, healthier lives, and a shift toward valued services, then chasing higher GDP growth at all costs may be misguided. Vollrath suggests that the more urgent issues may be distribution, access, and risk management. In a fully grown economy, the social stakes of inequality can rise because positional goods like housing, elite education, and location become more important. Meanwhile, lower growth can make it harder for everyone to feel better off automatically, increasing political conflict. This topic encourages a policy conversation that focuses on broad-based welfare rather than speed alone, improving healthcare efficiency and outcomes, expanding affordable housing, supporting families, investing in human capital, and maintaining a strong safety net. It also implies adjusting expectations about fiscal sustainability and interest rates in a world of high savings and low returns. The reader is left with a pragmatic lens, accept slower growth as normal, then design institutions that help people thrive within that reality, emphasizing quality of life, fairness, and resilience. In conclusion, this book fits readers who follow economic news, worry about stagnation, or want a clearer explanation for why life can feel expensive and unequal even when a country remains rich. It is also useful for policy-minded professionals, students, and general readers who want macroeconomic ideas presented without heavy mathematics. The main benefit is a reframing that reduces anxiety and sharpens priorities. By treating slower growth as a natural result of demographic success, higher education, and a service-oriented economy, the reader can separate what is normal from what is fixable. That clarity helps focus attention on issues that truly shape daily life, such as housing affordability, healthcare value, and the distribution of gains across regions and groups. Compared with many books that blame a single villain such as technology, globalization, or government, this one stands out for its balanced, multi-cause narrative and its emphasis on how prosperity changes the engine of growth. It is worth buying if you want an evidence-based way to discuss growth without nostalgia and a framework that supports smarter debates about what progress should mean in a mature economy. If you would like to support Dietrich Vollrath, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.